Okay, let's talk a bit about the different ways that herbs act in the body and what makes them different from pharmaceuticals. We can use herbs to suppress or address a symptom, to manage and control a symptom, just like pharmaceuticals do. But we can use herbs also in a different way to achieve a more long-term and permanent cure. So this sounds maybe a bit meta, but don't worry, I give you plenty of actual examples of health conditions and also herbs, of course. So let's dig into the weeds. Okay, so let's try to take this apart. So we can use herbs just to relieve a temporary symptom, to just give a short-term relief from something that bothers you. For example, if you have a headache, you can make a tea of poppy seed or a willow bark tea, and it will help with the pain. It will relieve the pain. Not as effective as pharmaceuticals. They are, in that case, really superior in treating strong pain, acute pain. But with the right dose and depending on the type of pain, you get a nice pain relief from your poppy seed tea or your willow bark tea. This will, of course, only work for a few hours. And if the pain persists, if it's not just a temporary headache, but something, that indicates a deeper issue, then of course the poppy seed tea or whatever analgesic herb you chose is not going to cure the underlying issue, the reason or the cause of the pain. If you have an injury, of course you have to also treat the injury and not only the pain. So with that example, just to illustrate what might sound a bit abstract, but we are used to this, from, let's say, pharmaceuticals, which often only address or suppress a symptom. For example, if you take a painkiller, that's exactly what pharmaceuticals do. You can, of course, in this way, if you would just use an herb for a specific situation, you use it in a similar way. You can also, with a poppy seed tea or willow bark tea, just manage the headache for that moment, and it will not help you to not get the next headache or to find out the reason and the underlying cause of the headaches. So this is the difference kind of between just addressing the symptom in that moment and finding a long-term cure or a permanent treatment of, for example, your headaches. So this, of course, involves, in a case of a headache, you would have to see what are the imbalances in the body, why are you getting the headaches. This could be a vata imbalance, or if the pain is in a different part in the body, it can be an old injury that you could help with other herbs to try to heal. There might be different underlying causes. And of course, these we can also address with herbs. And this is where pharmaceuticals are not so good in most cases, or except, of course, surgery. There might be something that you can't do with herb, but you can do this with modern medicine. So maybe you need surgery to treat your pain. Then this is, of course, nothing that herbs can substitute. But also pharmaceuticals often cannot substitute the actual treatment that is needed so that you don't have the recurring headaches. You would have to work also on your diet, on your lifestyle in many cases. And of course, there are also some specific herbs and supplements that you can take to more permanently not get these repeating headaches anymore. Another example would be, imagine you have a person with high blood pressure, and you can, for example, give a diuretic. A diuretic is just a substance. It can be a pharmaceutical. It could be an herb that makes you pee a lot. And this lowers the blood pressure for that moment. If you stop taking that herb or pharmaceutical, your blood pressure will go up again. So this is not really curing anything or not really improving your cardiovascular health. This is just for the moment managing a symptom, which might be necessary. So I'm also not saying that managing symptoms or suppressing symptoms is a bad thing. It's not at all. It's just good if we know the difference and we know what we're doing. And often we have to combine approaches where we are controlling and managing symptoms so that the person feels better quickly, which is important, of course. Yeah, no one wants to have a headache and, you know, not be able to live their life and do their work and everything. So this is not a bad thing at all. Yeah, but just to realize, what are we doing? Yeah, where are we really getting closer? Yeah, to not forget about also addressing the root cause. Yeah, ideally you use a combination. Yeah, but it's not a bad thing at all, of course, to address and suppress the symptoms. We do not want people to suffer from their headaches or from other situations. Or if someone has a high blood pressure that has to be controlled, then, for example, you can use a diuretic herb, so just the herb that makes you pee a lot. This could be dandelion leaf, for example, a dandelion leaf tea, or yarrow tea, or other typical diuretics that we have. There are many herbs that have this diuretic effect. Or you can use a pharmaceutical which has the same effect. You can use an herb, and probably, of course, the herb is still better. It is still, you know, amazing and great if you find a herbal diuretic that works just as good. And they are just as good, I would say. Yeah, herbs, the diuretic effect of herbs is pretty noticeable, and they work pretty well. So it's not unrealistic to try to find a diuretic herb that would have the same effect and actually lower your blood pressure. But on the other hand, you should also not forget that you are just treating this symptom of high blood pressure in a more short-term, more symptom-managing way. And that there are, of course, other reasons and underlying issues for the high blood pressure. Yeah, maybe your arteries are starting to stiffen and the cholesterol is building up and there is microinflammation in the body, in the cardiovascular system. So, you know, if you take an herb, for example, like hawthorn berries that are rich in these polyphenols called anthocyanidins, those red, blue, and purple pigments, for example, those do actually something for the health of your arteries. They decrease the inflammation in the artery. They reduce the buildup of cholesterol or prevent it. And they help to maintain the cardiovascular system strong and healthy. Yeah, so here you're doing something that is actually more working towards a long-term cure or a long-term improvement of your cardiovascular health, yeah, of your health, the health of the arteries and the heart, for example. Or garlic, yeah. Garlic would also kind of cleanse out the plaque and the buildup in your arteries, reduce the inflammation. And by doing that, garlic and hawthorn berry will reduce, if you take it long enough and high enough doses, let's say, no, not too little, but in a consistent way over a long time, you will notice that these also lower your blood pressure, because you know, they wouldn't lower the blood pressure in a person who has a normal blood pressure, or someone, let's say, that has low blood pressure. Yeah, you don't have to worry at all that hawthorn berry or garlic would lower the blood pressure. Yeah, this is only if the blood pressure is high because of the reason of poor cardiovascular health. Yeah, as I said, the whole artery stiffening and buildup of cholesterol in the arteries and microinflammation and all of this. Yeah, so there you have a way to combine a symptomatic approach. Maybe you are still going to use the diuretic, the whatever, the celery juice or whatever diuretic you chose on a daily basis to reduce your blood pressure a bit quicker. But you could also take the hawthorn berries and the garlic to address the underlying cause and achieve a more long-term permanent improvement in your health. Yeah. So I think, yeah, it's just interesting, no? I give you a few more examples also with herbs. So I think that way it's easier to see what I mean. Let's say someone has problems with memory and focus, concentration. Yeah, it just seems there is, the memory gradually gets worse. Someone forgets things, or not just memory and focus and concentration are a bit worse. Yeah. So for a more long-term approach, you could use the herb gotu-kola. I think I've talked about this many times, one of my favorite herbs. So gotu-kola is like a green leaf. You can buy the powder or the dried leaf. So if you buy the dried leaf, you can make a tea. If you have the powder, in Ayurveda, they use often herbs in powder form. You can just stir the powder into a little bit of plant-based milk or something, or into a smoothie and take it that way. So gotu-kola would address the actual nerve cells and nervous system. Yeah, it renews the nerves on a very physical level. Yeah, so it actually changes and renews your nerve cells, your brain cells, your nervous system. It takes a while. Yeah, so it's not you drink your first dose of gotu-kola tea and you notice something. It's probably not going to happen. But if you take it every day, maybe after 3 weeks, you start to notice, maybe even after 2 weeks, between 10 days and 3 weeks, I would say, depends on the dose, not too little, then you would notice that your brain improves. Yeah, and of course the improvement is gradual. So it's in Ayurveda they would use it for a good while, for several months, to really achieve this improvement. Of course, you can also do more short term things to improve your memory. Yeah, there is this extract. It's usually in a tablet form. It's called Huperzine A. This is an extract made out of the Huperzine moss. Yeah, so it is a plant, but it is kind of extracted and is more like a modern phytotherapeutic supplement, let's say. So you cannot make the tea out of the plant, then it would not be absorbable in the body in the right way, or there would be substances that are maybe even not beneficial to the body. So this is something you buy kind of in a tablet form, and what it does is it increases the acetylcholine transmitter in the brain, which just helps you in that moment to think more clearly and have a better brain function. But if you stop taking the Huperzine, you don't have the effect. No, so you could take the Huperzine in the morning and around lunchtime during the day when you need your sharp focus and concentration. And then the Huperzine would help you to be able to focus better, to think better, to have better memory. Which doesn't mean, that one approach is better than the other. Yeah. So actually what I often do with my clients is I combine it. Yeah. Because I want to give my clients an early success so that I keep them on the protocol, that they are motivated to keep going and to actually take their herbs and to work long term on their health with herbs and get improvement. Yeah. But it's just not like, take this tea that is really bitter, the gotu-kola tea in this case. It tastes really horrible and bitter. It's not that easy to drink, and then it takes another month or two until they really feel the benefit. Some feel it earlier, sometimes it takes a bit longer. But you give them the Huperzine and, they have a success pretty much the next day, or after a few days, they notice that, since I take the Huperzine, my brain function is actually better. So sure, I want to give my clients a quick result, that they stay motivated. And also, I think it's a good idea to combine these approaches. I mean, it's not at all, anything bad to manage and treat and improve your symptoms, to not have to suffer from your bad memory. Of course, you should eat your healthy diet and eat your omega-3s that are very important for brain health. You need enough vitamin D, you need your B vitamins, your magnesium. So on this more physical nurturing level, of course, you have to address the root cause. Yeah, the Huperzine doesn't work if you have a very bad diet or a very unhealthy lifestyle, and if you don't get enough sleep, it will not work at all. There is no way that you can have healthy brain function and good memory and good focus if you have not slept enough, for example. So this is, I think it's a good way to combine the two approaches. And even if you take an herb that just kind of manages the symptom for a long time, that's also okay, because herbs usually don't have the side effects that pharmaceuticals have. Yeah, so it is a big difference. Yeah, if, for example, if you have some type of chronic pain, and of course, hopefully you are working also on treating the underlying issue, but it's sometimes health is not perfect and there might be deeper issues that take longer or that have been there for many years. And it is no problem, to drink your willow bark tea for your arthritis pain or whatever. But it would be a totally different thing. And it's not curing it. Yeah, it is really just taking the edge off the pain and you can live a pain-free life. But it's very different if you have to take a painkiller or an aspirin, which has the same, aspirin is actually salicylic acid, no, is actually from plants like willow bark and other plants that have these salicylates. So it comes actually from the plant. And still, of course, it's a big difference, yeah, if you make a decoction of the willow bark or of some meadow sweet tea, which also contains these salicylates, then you have the whole plant with all these other constituents. It's not an isolated chemical that works in a very forceful, specific way and usually has some side effects. Yeah, some people get stomach cramps if they take the pharmaceutical, or they have other side effects, or it's very blood thinning, some of these painkillers, or in this case, the aspirin. So you don't have these side effects normally when you take the herb, even though the willow bark and the meadowsweet also contain the salicylates as probably their main active constituent that is actually helping with the pain. But you get a whole plant in a context, and our bodies react very differently to that compared to pharmaceuticals. Yeah. And another reason why, you know, we should think differently about managing pain, you know, because sometimes I feel this resistance or question. It's just, you know, a doubt. That's why I thought, okay, I make a podcast interview, podcast episode about this to really help help you all understand this, because it's important. You know, it's also not that, for example, it would be a bad idea to drink the willow bark tea if someone is suffering from chronic arthritis pain. As I said, hopefully they're also addressing their diet and the possible inflammation or whatever has to be done in the body. But drinking the tea every day and controlling their pain helps them to be more active, to walk more, to be more physically active, to live their life. And this can then actually help improve their pain on a physical level. Yeah. Or for example, with digestion, yeah, you might have to keep taking your flaxseed, your extra fiber, maybe a mild herbal laxative like the triphala we talked about in the last episode, or other herbs to have good digestion. You might need to keep taking your fennel tea and your carminatives so that you don't get any gas or bloating. And it might be that if you stop all of that, yeah, your constipation comes back, or your diarrhea comes back, or your stomach pain, your gas, your bloating, whatever. So you have to keep taking these herbs. They're not actually, they are actually curing something long term, but it's a bit harder to see. Yeah. And you might need to take a certain dose for a very long time. Yeah. So it's also not the goal to get off your herbs as quickly as possible. Yeah. To just take something for a month and then if it helped, you know, then, you know, you should be better, right? You should be at some point, some people think that, no? You should be able to stop all the herbs and just be healthy without having to take any herbs. I don't think so. I think it's really, many people have so many imbalances on different levels. Yeah, digestion is a big one, for example, that you just need to do something long-term for your digestion. And this will not only suppress a symptom, for example, prevent that you have constipation, yeah? So you take the herbs, you go to the bathroom, you stop the herbs, you don't go. But it also controls this vata imbalance that Ayurveda talks about. It, you know, if you would not take your herbs and just not treat your digestive tract, you get problems on top of that. Yeah, you get all these consequences of not having a digestion that is in the flow and working well. Yeah, you get this energy kind of stuck in your stomach, in your intestines, in your large intestine, small intestine. You get problems with your bacterial gut flora, and you, as a consequence, you know, there is many different ways this can go. Yeah, some people have an autoimmune condition because of their digestive problem, or heart problems, inflammation, even thinking and brain function that we just talked about, memory, anxiety, depression. These are all can be consequences. There can be other root causes, of course, yeah, or usually it's a combination of root causes, yeah, but sometimes we have to manage a certain area in our body. We have to manage the pain or the digestion or whatever is going wrong with an herb that, yeah, that does exactly that, that manages the symptom to give us comfort, to make us able to live our life pain-free, so that we can move, that we can do our exercise, that we can have a healthy lifestyle. Yeah, so it's also very important. Yeah, it is not a bad thing to manage your symptoms. Yeah. So herbs are still different in a very big way from pharmaceuticals, as I said, because they contain many different constituents. They're more food-like. Our body, you know, we have co-evolved with plants. Yeah. I always tell the story, that actually our blood, the hemoglobin, is a very similar molecule to the chlorophyll in plants. Yeah, it's the only difference is basically that the chlorophyll has a magnesium in the middle and our hemoglobin has an iron in the molecule. And we are so similar. No? So the plant, the whole structure, it is not just a mixture of certain chemicals or constituents. It is something that is very similar to us and that we have co-evolved with. Our digestion is the way it is because, you know, there were always fennel plants growing around us that we could eat and have to help us with our digestion of certain other foods like animal foods or fat or protein or whatever, so that we don't get any bloating from these foods. Yeah, so we have evolved exactly with that digestive tract that we're having because we have these plant foods in our environment and these herbs that help us and balance us. Yeah, so we are so similar. We have co-evolved. Plants are more food-like than plants are more complex than pharmaceuticals. It's not just this one chemical compound that kind of forces your body into a reaction. I mean, you know, with a pharmaceutical, this would never happen. Yeah, you give a pharmaceutical either to lower blood pressure or to raise the blood pressure or whatever. Maybe a bit a strange example, but the plants, they often balance our body. Yeah, you, as I said, you will not cause low blood pressure by taking garlic or hawthorn, but if you take too much of your pharmaceutical medication to lower your blood pressure, then you can make it too low. Yeah, so you need a very carefully selected dose. Yeah, and with herbs, yeah, the dose is often more flexible. It's actually not most plants that don't have such a narrow range of of dose. You know, it can be a bit higher, a bit lower, and you know, there is not a dangerous zone with many herbs. With some, of course, you have to be careful with the dose, and a few drops more or less or whatever makes a difference. But most of these herbs that we're talking about here in this podcast are pretty safe. You know, goto cola, you can easily, I mean, I often say, yeah, my standard dose with goto cola is actually 30 grams. Yeah, before that, I don't even start. No, it's like 30 grams of the herb, of the actual powder or of the dried leaves, and that you use to brew a tea. This is a good strong dose of goto cola. Yeah, it is more food-like. It is like a little spinach, leafy vegetable. No? So, yeah, you need an appropriate dose. And sometimes of some herbs, the doses are more food-like. I mean, you would also not eat just, you know, a tiny spoonful of orange juice. You know, you have to drink a whole glass to get some of the vitamins and the good stuff. Or, you have to eat the whole orange and not just a tiny little piece. No? And pharmaceuticals often make us think that doses are tiny. Because they are, yeah, in pharmaceuticals, we have these tiny little tablets that contain just a few milligrams or even micrograms of something. And with herbs, it's often different depending on the herb. Okay, let me see if I have here a few more examples. For example, anxiety. Yeah, if you have anxiety and you want to just calm your anxiety in the moment, you can make a lemon balm tea. You can take some lavender. You can even just smell the lavender essential oil or make a little spray or something that you can inhale the lavender. There's many of these calming herbs that you could make a tea of, and it calms your anxiety temporarily. But for the long term and more permanently, trying to treat this more permanently, of course, you have to also do other things. Yeah, it doesn't mean you shouldn't take your lavender tea and your lemon balm. Definitely do, and even every day and even three times a day, because these herbs are beneficial. They have lots of antioxidants. Yeah, there is no side effects basically of these herbs. So it's definitely no problem at all to take these herbs ongoingly if it helps you relax, if it helps you sleep, if it helps you to have a day without feeling anxious. But of course, think on the other side also, can you add in How many things can you add in for a more long-term treatment of your anxiety? Yeah, can you work less and go on more walks, have more friendships, talk about what really moves you, do more things that you really like, get out of a stressful environment, move from the city to the countryside, have your omega-3 every morning, have your B vitamins, and take your ashwagandha. Yeah, ashwagandha is an herb that we call adaptogen. And yeah, it can be really strengthen the whole body and calm anxiety in a more, yeah, in a more permanent way, in more this direction of underlying issue, treating the underlying issue. Yeah. Or for example, if you can't sleep, yeah, you can take a strong sedative for sleep. You can take some valerian or hops or nutmeg and you can get a good night of sleep. And that, you know, if you have to take this every day to sleep, it's no problem at all because these herbs are also usually full of antioxidants and generally beneficial. And if you feel okay, yeah. So if, you know, some people might say that maybe they are too strong or they wake up and they're still tired or whatever, and then usually you have to adjust the dose and just take them in the correct way and correct dose for yourself. But, you know, for some people, for example, valerian doesn't work so well for sleep. They just don't get a great effect. And for others, it works amazing. So, of course, it depends also on the person. And, you know, it's no problem, yeah, if you have to take an herb in the evening to as part of your sleep routine and preparation for bed, and you take an herbal tea that helps you sleep better and more deeply. But you can, of course, also look at, okay, what is the underlying issue of my sleep? Do I have to change anything in my sleep environment? I mean, all these sleep tips that you hear everywhere that you shouldn't be on the screen or on your phone in the last hour or two before bedtime, and, you know, sleep in a cool environment, and, you know, change all the things in your physical environment so that it's more, yeah, it's better for you to sleep. And of course, you can also take some ashwagandha, yeah, which would also regulate the circadian rhythm, yeah, so it can actually help to reset a bit a sleep cycle that is out of balance, yeah, so you can combine that. The ashwagandha will not work in the moment, yeah, you can take your ashwagandha and it's not that you are asleep half an hour later, yeah, it's more like you take your ashwagandha at any time of the day, it doesn't matter, you can take it in the morning. And you take it every day, and after 2 or 3 weeks, or even after longer, sometimes you feel that you sleep better or that you have less anxiety. Yeah, so it's a more long-term, permanent thing with the ashwagandha. But of course, I don't want anyone to have still the insomnia in this month that the ashwagandha takes to work. So of course, you take your lavender tea and your lemon balm tea and your nutmeg or your valerian, your hops, whatever sleep herbs you like. And even if you have to combine both for a long time, the ashwagandha and some more short-term sedative herb, that's also a good idea because, you know, not sleeping, this is not an option, yeah? Or sleeping bad or sleeping less than 8 hours, this is not an option. If you have any, in general, to stay healthy, you need your full dose of sleep. If you're healing from something, if you have other health issues, the first thing is sleep and digestion. Those are the two areas that really, they have to work. We have the herbs for it. We can create changes definitely in these areas. And we have to address that. Now, I mean, you cannot get up and after only 5 hours of sleep and have an amazing day. You will be tired. Your anxiety will be worse, or you will be depressed. You will be fatigued. No? So there's, it's amazing, yeah, that we have herbs that although they just work symptomatically short term, like for example nutmeg, but they put you to sleep, they give you this relief, they give you the refreshing 8 hours of sleep, and you wake up and you know, your body can heal and you can do all the things you have to do during the day. Okay, so I have a few more examples for you. This one is also a good example that I just had myself a few days ago. So I had some really strong neck pain. Yeah, my neck was totally tight. And of course, it was of some stressful circumstances and work in front of the computer where I kind of tightened up a bit my neck and didn't pay attention, forgot to do my stretching or whatever. So It wasn't no wonder, but it was kind of difficult to treat it. Yeah, once you have already a symptom like that and the neck just gets tighter, and you would need really a lot of time to give attention to this area or to get a massage and to have less work and have less stress and all of that. Of course, herbs can help in that situation. And even if it's just let's say a herbal antispasmodic, you could try valerian, hops, or any herb that has a strong antispasmodic action. In this case, I had a lobelia tincture, which is really effective. So lobelia is one of these herbs that are rather low dose. You would have to be very careful with it because it can cause people to vomit if you take too much. So this is just a tiny drop dose, for example, in this case. And the therapeutic range is pretty narrow, so you have to be very careful to not take too much. It's also not that available, but there are other herbs, you know, valerian, hops would also be very good muscle relaxants. And so I took a few drops of the lobelia tincture and it was so amazing. Ah, it was just heaven. It was really within 20 minutes or even less, you know, my whole body relaxed. My neck totally relaxed. I mean, it was just completely gone, my neck pain. And of course, the neck pain was already starting to cause some tension headaches. And, you know, it's just this downward spiral. Yeah. And this is the thing, you know, this is where it's so great. We can be so grateful that we have herbs that work so effectively in many cases, just as effectively as pharmaceuticals. Not in all cases, but for symptomatic relief, yeah, that we have herbal safe remedies that are such a strong effective antispasmodic, as in this case, that I felt such a profound relief. And you know, and then the effect actually stayed. Yeah, I mean, if I would have the continued stress and work and all of that, of course the neck pain would come back, but it released my tension and my pain in the neck completely, and then it was gone. It was actually gone. And I'm sure it would have bothered me for at least 5 days more, because I didn't have the time to do all my stretching and my yoga and my massage and all of that. I mean, I did some of that also, of course, and I tried to work less and do less and kind of remove the stress a bit and reduce the stress. But yeah, it was just so amazing. You know, I slept well, I didn't have the neck pain. And it just kept me from spiraling downwards, you know, because then you have the neck pain, then you have the headache, and you're already stressed. And, you know, this just goes in a downward spiral. And at the end, you're depressed or you're anxious or you're just unhappy, and your day and your week or the whole month is ruined because of something. Yeah. I mean, sleep is another good example. No? You really just have to treat it with herbs, and even if those herbs are just working on this symptomatic short-term level, it prevents you from spiraling downwards. Yeah, it helps you stop the downward vicious cycle of, you know, bad sleep causes the headache, causes the fatigue, causes the being depressed, causes, you know, that in the end this ruins your life. Yeah, this downward spiral, it ruins your health and it ruins your joy in life. So yeah, I'm really I think it's amazing that we have these safe and effective herbs. And as I said, they are in many cases, in most cases, of course, a safe option compared to some pharmaceuticals, which doesn't mean, you know, I really make it clear every time I say it, herbs are superior in many ways. In other cases, there is no way around pharmaceuticals, and we're also glad we have them as an option when natural remedies just don't help in certain situations because it's too progressed or whatever. I mean, I still think, you know, you can combine. At least there might be a need for some people to take pharmaceuticals, but combine it with herbs and healthy lifestyle and healthy diet and all of this. And yeah, also definitely with herbs. Yeah, for example, I give you another example. If you're tired, yeah, you can just drink a coffee and it's going to give you more energy. But it's not going to cure your thyroid. Yeah. So if you have low thyroid function, you're going to be tired every day. And the coffee is just going to deplete you more, because you expend even more energy, but that you actually don't have. Yeah. You burn out your adrenals. And you can get on this downward spiral because of, you know, just overlooking that you actually have hypothyroid or adrenal fatigue or whatever, and this is the actual reason of being tired. And of course, you're not addressing it at all, you're just suppressing the symptom by drinking coffee, which would be a bad idea because this can also spiral you downwards by just depleting you more and more, but by making you spend all this energy that you actually don't have. Yeah, so stimulants can be very tricky in these situations because people actually go into burnout. Yeah, they go at some point into burnout because of this overuse of stimulants and coffee. And their body was just crying for, you know, for actual help. You know, what your hypothyroid is telling you is that you need to take some minerals and vitamins, that you need to watch out for autoimmune conditions, maybe reduce the inflammation in your body, strengthen your adrenals and thyroid with adaptogens. Yeah, there are many ways that would work on this underlying issue. And even if you are taking the thyroxine, yeah, even or, you know, any pharmaceutical in any other situation, even if you have to take the blood pressure medication because your doctor tells you so, and of course, this is a reasonable thing to do in that case, then you can still take, in case of the heart and blood pressure problems, you still take your hawthorn and you still take your garlic because you want to improve the health of your cardiovascular system. Yeah. Or in the case of the thyroid, yes, you keep please taking your thyroxine that your doctor decided that you need to take, and it makes you feel better and it's great, but it is just managing the symptom on a very superficial level. It is not actually treating your Hashimoto's, if you have this autoimmune condition of the thyroid, for example. It is not improving your thyroid function. It is not improving your adrenals, your stress response, your communication of all these hormonal glands in your body. It's not giving you the vitamins and minerals that you need for optimal thyroid function. Yeah. So in many cases, a combined approach, of course, is a very good idea and a very good decision. Okay, yeah, I think that was it for today. Quickly back to the neck pain example. I took the lobelia tincture. But of course, you know, I know I'm going to get the next neck pain if I have the same situation. I have the stress, I'm sitting in front of the computer doing too much, have a poor posture in front of the computer, skip my exercise or don't do my stretching. And I also have to strengthen the muscle. Yeah, so in the end, of course, it's not the idea to long-term depend on the very strong antispasmodic lobelia tincture or valerian or whatever, but the goal is, of course, to prevent it, yeah, to remind myself to take breaks, to do my stretching, to do some exercise to strengthen the muscle. But it's amazing, and it really saved my whole week, probably, that I could resolve my neck pain quickly with an herbal antispasmodic. And wow, it was really amazing. I was really happy to have this quickly resolved, and I'm glad I remembered, oh yeah, I have this lobelia tincture, I should try it out. And yeah, it was fantastic, and the neck pain is gone, and now I know, okay, I'm starting from zero, I got this chance thanks to the herbs to completely relieve the neck pain, to just take it away. And now I have to, you know, I have to put in the work to take my breaks, to not be too long not for too long doing the computer work and all of that, and getting up and stretching and strengthening my muscle. Yeah. So this is, yeah, what herbs can do for you. They can really help us to get out of this downward spiral. They can, yeah, help the body to recover, and we are suddenly in a state where we can take better decisions. Yeah. If we have slept amazingly and we don't have the neck pain, the headache or whatever anymore, we are of course in a happier place, in a better place, in a more stable place to take better decisions for our health. And of course, that's what ultimately is going to improve your life, no? But thanks to the herbs, we got to the place where we can actually just be better, not be stressed, you know, and then we don't have the sugar cravings because the herbs helped us to be less stressed, to sleep better, to calm our nervous system, all of it. It can have really far-reaching consequences. No? This downward spiral is just building up, spiraling down, and the herbs can help us to intervene and to put us back on a good path. Okay, so I hope you enjoyed that. Let me know if you have any questions. You can always send me an email. My email is tamara@herbalhelp.net. So this is also my website, of course, herbalhelp.net. There is a form. You can send a message, a contact form if you want, through the website. Also, if you are interested in health consultations with me, if you want my personalized help to figure out the best herbs for you to take and to help you address the underlying issues of your health imbalances, then you are very welcome to schedule a free call with me. I'm gonna put the link here in the description of this podcast. You can directly go to my calendar, book a free call of around 20 minutes to check in with me, to ask me your questions quickly, to see if you want to book health consultations with me. And I also have the classes. This link is also here in the description. So we, at the moment, we have one class a month, but I hope as more people sign up, we're going to do a bit more. We're going to have another kind of mentoring or Q&A session, hopefully. So if enough of you ask me to do that, then I'm very happy to do that, because yeah, I enjoy the classes. We have a class about different topics. As soon as you sign up, it's just a monthly payment for a really good price. You can sign up, you get all the past classes that are recorded and posted on this Ko-fi site. You see the link in the description, so you can sign up, you can watch our past classes. And I also would hope you come to the live Zoom classes that we have once a month, which is a presentation about a certain topic. At the moment, we are still at the topic of digestive herbs. We had already our part one and we have our part two, because digestive health is, of course, very much related to the root cause of many conditions. And yeah, so you can sign up, come to the live classes. We always have enough time for your questions at the end of the class, so we can actually see each other, talk to each other. You can ask me your questions, and it's the best moment of the class for me. That's just amazing, because, you know, my students come and tell me what they have been trying out, how they have been working on their own health, which new herbs they have discovered. And it's, yeah, it's a great moment to connect. Yeah, so I'm actually here for you. We can actually talk to each other. And if you feel like doing that, reach out to me and check out the Ko-fi link about the classes. Yeah, I also offer student mentoring if you want my help to get set up on your professional path as an herbalist. Then you can also reach out to me and we can have a free call and discuss what I could possibly do for you. Okay, so this just to tell you what I do if I don't record podcasts. Then I do all of that. And yeah, see you in the next episode. Bye bye. Until then.